cup. Amen. But anyway, all right, open your Bibles to Matthew 25. We'll try to get back on subject. I deviated a little bit here last week or two, and I've been gone some. I was teaching a few lessons on what it would be like during the millennial reign. Now, to review, to get you to remember what I'm talking about, a lot of things we go through life saying and don't even know much about what we're saying. When I first was going to school, of course, this was back when prayer in school was legal, and we all stood and said the Lord's Prayer in unison, you know. So just about everybody learned that. Now, I know it's not scripturally the Lord's Prayer, but it's what's called it. Scriptural Lord's Prayer is in John 17, where Jesus prayed to the Father for you and I, amen. But it was the disciples' model prayer that the Lord Jesus was teaching the disciples how to pray. And he said, "Our Father which art in heaven." And you remember in there where he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come." Well, that's the millennial reign of Christ, when his kingdom rules on earth. Now, you'd sure be mixed up to think his kingdom is ruling on earth right now. Amen. And yet you got a whole lot of, quote, churches that are teaching that. And every now and then, I've had some good preachers make a mistake and say to me, generally they're not Baptists or something else, but they say, "Well, anything for the kingdom, anything to build the kingdom." Well, I'm sorry, we're not building it right now. If we are, we're doing a poor job, because it's a mess in this old world today. We're not building the kingdom now. Jesus is going to bring the kingdom with him when he comes and sets up his rule and reign in the millennial reign for 1,000 years. And I've told you what that means. Mill means 1,000. Annum means years. So millennial is talking about the 1,000 years coming on earth when Christ is going to be in control, and he will rule with what the Bible says is a rod of iron. It'll go out of his mouth. His word will be the law. And yes, there will be those that will still resist it. You wouldn't think that, would you? But it will happen. I started telling you some things that was going to be, and the Bible has a lot of things about how the millennial reign will be. His throne will be in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that's very clear. And you ever wonder why all the trouble circles around Jerusalem? It does, don't it? No city ever been razed to the ground, leveled to the ground as many times as Jerusalem has. Somebody said it's the smallest piece of dirt and yet the bloodiest piece of dirt in the world, because it's been fought over so many times. And that is true, being fought over still today. And yet the biggest battle, according to the Bible, is still coming ahead. Now, we talked to you about longevity during that time. Even human bodies will live longer. Now, it'll be true. The Lord is going to come back with his servants to rule. And you and I that are saved, if you're born again today, for sure. I'm not talking about your church membership. Not talking about whether you were baptized as a baby or any other time. I'm talking about if you're really born again and you're caught up to be with the Lord, he's going to bring you back. And Revelation chapter 20 says we're going to rule with him 1,000 years. I rule as kings and priests for 1,000 years. Now, it's still, eternity will come after that. New Jerusalem will come down from heaven on earth. Earth will be renovated. Yes, it will be renovated by fire, like most folks think today. The end of everything is a big boom and a big fire, and that's it. No, no, no. There's a lot of things yet going to happen before it's renovated by fire. And the New Jerusalem comes down as a bride prepared for her husband out of heaven. But in the millennial reign, the curse will be lifted. Now, we are under a curse. Would anybody doubt that? We are under a curse. Ladies, you go out to pick a pretty, now if you're from the south, you call it a bouquet. If you're from the north, you call it a bouquet. Anyway, whichever one it is, handful of flowers. You do that. You go out to pick them, but if you're not careful, what will happen to you? You get a thorn. You know why you get a thorn? Because this whole world's under a curse. and the prettiest things has the evidence of a curse on it. It really does. And we have to fight that. The farmer has to plant his crop and fight the grass, don't he? And then he has to fight whether he's going to get enough rain or too much sunshine or what. Nothing's just right for long in this world, right? We have some days in Florida that seem just right, but they don't last. It's either too hot, too cold, too dry, too wet, you name it, because we're under a curse. And that curse shows up in every way. It shows up in the animal kingdom. Do you ever think about the pecking order in the animal kingdom? One thing eats another. Depends on if you're on the menu. Depends on whether you're the top of the pecking order or the bottom of it. Amen. You know, the fox eats the rabbit, and the hound chases the fox, and just going up the line, like it is. That's the old fallen nature of this world. It's under a curse. And you can see it everywhere you look. You can see it in the plant kingdom. You can see it in the animal kingdom. But when the curse is lifted, Adam lived, and the old timers there that lived over 900 years, that's coming back. I'm reviewing now because I went to Isaiah 11 and 65 and talked to you about it from those chapters. Isaiah got a lot on it there. And the thing I want to move to this morning is the nations at the beginning of that thousand-year reign are going to be judged as nations. Now, God's in charge of that. The Bible teaches it in several places that the nations are going to be judged. So turn with me to Matthew 25, and let's read a few verses. I may have already read them to you, but let's read them again. In Matthew chapter 25, and pick it up in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now there's a big difference in him coming in his glory and coming secretly to take out the saved first. So this is coming in his glory. This is Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, where it says that every eye will behold him. Everybody will see him. If he comes for those that are saved, it's going to be a mysterious coming, and only the saved are going to see him. That's a wonderful, wonderful thought, and I'd like for it to happen. I'd like for it to happen this last week while I was coughing so bad. I think, Lord, just either take my cold or come get me. He didn't do either one there for a while. But in his glory is when every eye will see him, Revelation 1:8. And he's coming in his glory, and the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. That'll be in the kingdom age. That'll be from Jerusalem. And verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations. How many? Well, all. Say, well, is America in there? Well, America's in that all part. Amen. And he gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Now, everybody knew the picture the Lord Jesus was given there. They were shepherds. And the shepherd would sit at the entrance to the little, it might be a little cavity in the rocks there, or it might be actual homemade pen. But he sat at the gate. And when he wanted to separate the goats from the sheep, and the goats acted a little different. They were a little harder to deal with. I had a pet goat when I was 4 years old. I know them. First time I ever tasted a goat was when I bit my pet goat. I did bite him, and I got goat hair all in my mouth, and I still remember it till now. Well, I shouldn't have mentioned it, but I'd got mother's sewing thread and hooked him up to our four-wheel baby cart, and I was going to make him pull the cart like I saw Daddy when he hooked up the mules to the wagon. But that little old goat had different ideas. He let me hook him up, and then he crawled around. When I got in the cart, he got in on top of me. So help me, I got my hand on the Bible. That's exactly what happened. If anybody was going to ride, he was going to ride. It's truth. I screamed and hollered and done everything. I couldn't get that goat off of me until I finally done what most babies will do. They'll finally bite you. And I bit him right in the side. And I want to tell you, I got him off of me. But I like to choke to death on that goat hair. I never tried that trick no more. But it's a solid truth. I was 4 years old when that happened. It almost cost him his life, because we had a hired man on the farm, there, and he come to me wanting to give me a silver dollar for my goat, because he was just eating size, and he was going to throw a barbecue for his friends. And I was tempted after that to sell him, but I didn't. Later, some gypsies came by, and they used to peddle a wagon in the country. They were gypsies. I'm not accusing anybody of nothing. They come by and lived up to their reputation. They had trinkets and junk, and they tried to sell it to the farm wives. And I remember that gypsy coming in the house, and he took a pot and bowls, and he'd throw them on that old floor, and he'd stand on them, showing how strong they were. And he showed Mother this beautiful spreads that would go on the bed. I mean, just embroidered stuff. And she told him she didn't have any money. And he wanted to trade that spread for my goat. He'd spotted my goat. And I remember Mama was tempted. She asked me two or three times, and I kept shaking my head, no. Anyway, I didn't let those gypsies get my goat. But anyway, that really happened. I got off on that to say the sheep and goat nations are going to be separated like the shepherd did with the sheep and the goat when they came by him at the entrance to the pen. It don't take much difference to, you don't have to recognize much. You know the difference in a sheep and a goat. If you've been messing with them, you sure do. And the goat's got a terrible attitude compared to the sheep. But anyway, that's what's called, and you'll hear the terminology often, the judging of the sheep and goat nations. Now, it's interesting to follow it on down here. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Which I'd ought to tell you, it's better to be on the right than the left, amen? I thought I'd just drop that in. Then said the king, say unto them on his right hand, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now again, he's talking about their position in the millennial reign, in the kingdom of which Christ is the king. And then here's why we see the difference. We begin to find out how he judges between what makes a sheep nation, what makes a goat nation, as we read a little bit further. And it says, then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Question marks. We don't remember doing that to you, Lord. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, verse 38. Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? All questions. When did we do that to you, Lord? Look at it in verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now, when we read that, we think, well, okay, that's feeding the poor. That's taking care of the needy. Well, all that is good, and all that will have its reward on an individual basis. We're talking about now the judgment of the nations. And do you know who he's talking about when he says, unto the least of these, my brethren? Who were the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ? In the flesh, he came of the seed of the woman. He came in the fullness of time, the scripture says. But he came unto the Jews. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 says he came unto his own. His own received him not. That's the Jews. And yet Jesus in the flesh, the body that was prepared for him. He was God. He was God in the flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14, the Word. If you ever have any doubt about the divinity of God in Jesus Christ, read John chapter 1. It tells you there that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things was made by Him. And then you get over to verse 14, it says, and the Word, all of it's capital W, the Word, the Logos, the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is He talking about? Talking about Jesus. It says in John 1, He was in the beginning with God. He was there when the creation. Read Genesis close and you'll see where God, the great I Am, the great Jehovah God, said, let us make man in our own image, plural. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Creator in the beginning. Jesus, as the Son of God, was God incarnate in the flesh and became flesh. Now, yet that flesh He took was of the Jewish seed, Jewish flesh. You see, amazing thing, He came unto His own received Him not. Now, any individual Jew can be saved by trusting Christ. But the Jewish nation as a whole, through history, has rejected Christ as the Messiah. And I've known some Jews that got saved. I've led some to the Lord. I've seen some families disown their kids even over them accepting Christ. Now, you could understand it a little better if you read medieval history. And if you'll understand how those churches in the name of Jesus Christ persecuted Jews, culminating in the worst thing we can remember, and that's Hitler's burning of the 6 million Jews in the ovens. But a lot of stuff happened in Russia, happened in Spain, happened even in England. The only nation it has not happened in, thank God, is America. And I'm thankful I can say that. Because when the Jewish nation here, when these sheep and goat nations stand before the King, that's what He's talking about. How did you treat my brethren? That's why what's going on right now in your news concerning the Jews is very, very important. And what's going on in Washington, D.C. as our politicians line up. I've never seen so many speaking with a split tongue in all my life as speaks from Washington, D.C. right now. One day you think, well, they're saying it right. The next day they're flipped again. I've never seen such twisting and squirming. I saw where one of our congresswomen was fussing about Israel and they're fighting back at the Hamas. And she was fussing that America, she felt like, was in support of Israel. She said, we need to also furnish Hamas an iron dome. She ought to nail her tongue to a post and walk off. Amen. I mean, that's kind of junk. But anyway, these nations are going to be judged as how they stood for or against Israel. And we're talking about the beginning of the millennial reign, the beginning of the kingdom. We're talking about after the Battle of Armageddon has happened. And it is going to happen. You want to know what's going to happen in the news, all the wars? It's going to ultimately lead to the Battle of Armageddon. That's going to be the decisive battle. It's going to end things. It's going to declare who the final winner is. And anyway, I get off on that too much. But here's the judgment of the sheep and goat nations. On what criteria are they judged? They're judged on how they treated Israel. Even though Israel is in blindness. And the Bible teaches, several of the prophets teach this. Hosea teaches it. Zechariah teaches it. They are going to have their eyes open. When their back is against the wall, which is pretty close there, that way now. Do you know right now, truthfully, if it wasn't for America, Israel wouldn't stand a chance? Amen. Yeah. Now, they've got all the modern technology, but that cannot stand against the great masses that would come against them and are planning, and yet will try to come against them. They will. The only thing that's going to save them is the return of Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. It's going to get worse. There may be little times of peace here and little lull in the war here and another little lull over here, but it's snowballing toward the Battle of Armageddon. That's all the Bible's clear on it. There's no reason to doubt what the Word of God says. It's in fact, if you know your Bible and watching the news today, isn't it amazing how rapidly all this book is being fulfilled, how quickly it's happening? And I tell you what, somebody that's unsaved, trusting the church or trusting some of their own good works or something else instead of Jesus, you are on shaky ground, my friend. Your time and opportunity is fast fading away. Anyway, here's what's going to happen at the beginning of the millennial reign. Millennial reign will be different. The curse will be lifted, which will mean that the weather will be right. The thorns will be gone. There's all kind of supposition and theory, even scientific theory, that the millennial reign may correct. Any of you have an old world globe at home where you spin it around? Anybody got one of them things? All right, several of you. That's good. But isn't it kind of tilted? Don't set straight up, does it? It's tilted. Well, they say the earth is tilted. I mean, the folks that's supposed to be the authorities say the earth is tilted. And there's always been some question mark as why. And then there's the supposition and theory that when Adam disobeyed God in the garden, when the fall came and the curse came, and the earth was also cursed, there's a theory that it tilted. Now, we're hearing stuff about the axis rotating and stuff like that today, and there's some truth to that. But there's some that believe the earth tilted a little bit when it fell on the curse. Some science has said in many years, I've repeated this at least 40, 50 years ago, say that if the earth set perfectly straight up on its axis, that the sun's rays would hit it different than it does now with it being tilted. And that if it was straight and the sun rays hit it straight, then the gray rock out there would look more like a gem, a ruby, or that all the dead look that we have on earth would all of a sudden be bright and brilliant and beautiful. That's theory. But we're under a curse and the earth is tilted and it can't hit it that way. Now, I don't know about that. I know it'll be straightened up if that's what it takes in the millennial reign. Things will be different. I mentioned a while ago the animal kingdom. Right now, the Bible says, I read it to you recently, where the lion will eat straw like the ox. Right now he eats the ox and you if you get in his way. But the carnivorous nature of the lion will be changed. Could you imagine walking down the street of Haines City and you see a little 10-year-old boy leading a lion along the street? Most of us would get out of there. Oh, in the kingdom age, he'd do that. Now, I still have a hard part with this, how the child's going to pat the snake on the head. That's what it says. Now, personally, I don't hardly know if there's any redemption for snakes or not, but anyway, I'm joking with you now. Yeah, or even that. Boy, I was over in Russia and we were having a hard time getting into restaurants that we could trust. And they made us stay in this one hotel where they could keep a watch on us. And at the bottom floor was the big restaurant. We'd go in there and they didn't treat us too good. It was back during the time of perestroika. Gorbachev was about to lose power. KGB following us around and all that. But we went in this restaurant and sat down. Brother Larry Whitmer and Howard Cohn, I don't see Howard over there, several of us, went over and we sat down, and they just never come to us to serve us. But they had this guy walking around, had his shirt off. He might have been Putin, I don't know. Had his shirt off. And he had this great big python, or boa constrictor, which I think was a python. He was a python. Wrapped around his waist, come over his shoulder, and he's holding it several inches from his head like that. And he walks all over the restaurant and letting that snake's head move back and forth. He's not playing any music. He's not singing. He's not just saying anything. He just walks up close to the table and lets that snake look you in the eye and move his head around like that. It looked to me like he come to our table more than anybody else's. And I told the guys after a while, I said, look, I don't know if I want anything to eat right now or not. And I'm a little bit scared of this place. Let's just get up and get out of here. And we did. But the truth was, I don't like snakes. I know there's difference in them. And I just think the best ones are dead ones. That's all I think. And, anyhow, with all that said, can you imagine the snake now? There's a question about that. Is he going to get his legs back? I don't know. But the curse is going to be removed in the millennial reign, and just argue about things like that a little bit. We don't know for sure. But it'll be, this judgment will be centered out of Jerusalem. Christ will be the king. Christ will be the judge. Nations will be brought forward, and their position in the kingdom age as a nation is going to reflect how they treated the Jews even now. And so as we see what's going on in the news, you better pray for our leadership that they don't put America in jeopardy. Because we've stabbed Israel in the back more times in the last several years, just last few years, than ever before. And when it came, you go trace it all the way back to 1948 when Harry Truman was president. He was the one that first recognized Israel in 1948, and the flag was raised, and we have backed Israel ever since. We came very close to a nuclear exchange during the time of both Johnson and Nixon with Russia. It was a big deal. In the Yom Kippur War in 1973, when the Arabs attacked Israel, thinking they were, and they were, caught them off guard. It was a religious holiday with Israel. And Egypt came from the south, and the others came from every direction. And it looked like there for a while that Israel could not survive. And Golda Meir was the prime minister of Israel, and she had already had them arm the nuclear bomb and would have used it. But whichever one it was, Nixon, I guess it was it Nixon in 73? Yeah, it was, I guess. Nixon in 73, Russia had called the White House. Let me get it right. But Israel's miraculously, their armies began to take over, and they took a great big part of the Sinai Desert as they pushed Egypt back. And all of a sudden, it flipped miraculously, and Israel was taking all the territory. And Prime Minister of Russia, can't call his name. Was it Brezhnev? I can't remember. Brezhnev, maybe. Anyway, he called and said from Russia and told Nixon to call off Israel or we're coming in. And Nixon said, if you go in, we're going in. And so they had a stalemate there. And Israel was able to recover without pulling the nuclear trigger. The nuclear trigger is going to get pulled. Whether it be at Armageddon or before, I don't know. But it is going to get pulled. I heard the craziest thing this week. I heard where Hamas said they wanted a peace treaty in which Israel got rid of all their weapons, including their nuclear weapons. Now, you talk about laying your weapons down before an enemy. That would be as stupid as anybody could be, but that's actually what they asked for. Anyway, folks, we are in interesting times. I hope you're saved, that you know the Lord Jesus. You know if you died today, you'd go to heaven, or you know if all this stuff wraps up, you're on the right side.